Hi, I'm Kate from Psych for Life. Do you ever feel like you're not quite getting enough sleep? I know I feel like that on most days. These days we're pulled in 1,000 different directions, and the thing that often suffers is sleep. Take last night, for instance. It was 10 o'clock, and while I knew that I should go to bed, I stayed up, I caught up on some work, and I watched a little Netflix, all at the expense of my sleep. I know sleep is important, but in the moment, often I make other choices. It turns out sleep affects us in more ways than we might anticipate.
Why is sleep so important? Good question. Getting enough sleep is associated with living longer, and sleeping helps you feel better.
Did you know that sleep also affects cognition? Scientists at the University of Pennsylvania instructed students to only sleep 5 hours a night. After 5 days of reduced sleep, 70% of subjects complained of illness, infection, pain, discomfort, worry, or other problems, and they performed significantly worse on tests of cognitive functioning compared to when they slept as usual. So if you're not getting enough sleep, you may not be performing as well in school or at work, and you might be more likely to get into arguments with your friends and family. Sleep deprivation's also been shown to increase your desire for high-calorie foods, causing you to eat things you don't really want to eat. You know, if you're not getting enough sleep, well, you're not alone. That's most of us. The CDC, or the Center for Disease Control, shows that over a third of adults don't get enough sleep, so it's not uncommon. And over 70% of high school students report not getting enough sleep. This could hurt their chance of getting into college or even getting scholarships. So what is a challenge that prevents people from getting enough sleep? Fun. Because everyone knows that sleep is really important, and everyone knows it's a necessity, but it's really the first thing that goes when people have competing demands. In 2002, Franklin Brown and colleagues found that practicing good sleep habits was linked to reports of better sleep quality. However, the study found that simply knowing about good sleep habits was not enough to improve sleep quality.
Many of us know what we need to do, we just don't do it.
So as you watch this video, we'd like to help you not just learn about good sleep habits, but also to make changes to improve your sleep.
Think about ways you can really implement these changes in your life.
And consider signing up for one of our Good Sleep Challenges on our website, or start a Good Sleep Challenge with an offline friend.
This will empower both of you to really change and improve your behavior. It's really important to practice. The fact is, despite all these competing demands, getting better sleep will pay off. You'll be happier, you'll be healthier, you'll increase your cognitive functioning, and you'll be better at handling stress.
And don't worry, many of the changes are not as hard as you think. And if you change them, you're likely to improve your mood, your cognition, and your health.
Join us as we talk to Dr. Leah Doan about the importance of sleep, the consequences of sleep deprivation, and how we can all get better sleep. Welcome back. I'm Kate from Psych for Life. The first step in getting enough sleep is knowing how much sleep is enough. Up until 2015, the National Sleep Foundation had very strict guidelines, and now they've switched to providing ranges. Some adults need around 6 hours, where others need up to 11 to function at an optimal level. Everyone is different. I know that if I get less than 7 hours of sleep, I'll have brain fog and I won't have a lot of energy the next day. But how can we figure out our optimal sleep range? Well, it turns out the best tool for doing that is keeping a simple sleep diary. A study by Rogers, Caruso, and Aldrich found that keeping track of your sleep-wake patterns in a sleep diary was actually as effective as the most sophisticated tool out there, a polysomnograph, to monitor sleep. So what is a sleep diary? It's pretty simple. It's a journal where you keep track of things like when you fell asleep and woke up, if you took a nap during the day, how much caffeine and alcohol you consumed, and how much exercise you got, and whether or not you felt sleepy. In this video, we'll guide you through the process of starting and maintaining a sleep diary. And don't worry, you don't need any fancy equipment, just a notebook and something to write with. As you watch this video, consider writing out your responses in a notebook. Or close your eyes and picture yourself writing down your responses in your head. Keep in mind, there are no wrong answers here. The goal is to assess our sleep so we can improve. We've provided a sleep diary template that you can either print or copy into your notebook. Here's a list of all of the questions, and then we'll talk through them one at a time. Here are the questions you'll fill out in the morning. The morning questions are reflecting on the night before. What time did you go to sleep? How long did it take for you to fall asleep? What time did you wake up? How would you rate the quality of your sleep? Was your sleep interrupted? How many times? Here are the questions you'll fill out before you go to bed. How would you rate your energy levels today? Did you take a nap? When did you consume caffeine today? Did you consume any alcohol after 6 p.m.? Did you exercise today? And if so, for how long? Since this is the first day, we'll be filling out the entire template. But going forward, you'll answer the first 5 questions in the morning and the rest before you go to bed. You might just want to keep your diary next to your bed so you can spend about 30 seconds in the morning answering the questions. So let's start with today's date. We're going to be doing this over a period of 10 days, so you want to be tracking the individual dates. If 10 days sounds like a long time to be doing this, know that the reason we need that much data is so we can start to see patterns. And also keep in mind, this takes 1 minute per day. I'm writing it down in my work notebook, so it's not something separate I need to find. So let's start with, what time did you go to sleep? And a little note on this one. It's super common for us to get in bed and then start doing other things at times. Maybe we're reading, maybe we're scrolling social media. So if I got in bed at 10 p.m. and scrolled social media until 11, the time I need to write down is 11. Go ahead and write your answer. The next part is how long it took us to fall asleep. That's the time you spend lying in bed waiting for sleep to come. I was so tired last night, it felt like I was asleep when my head hit the pillow, so I'm gonna write down 1 minute. Go ahead and write your answer. For what time did you wake up? You'll wanna put the time that you actually got out of bed in the morning. So for me, last night, my alarm was set for 6:15 this morning, but because I stayed up late, I ended up hitting snooze twice. So I need to write down that I actually got out of bed at 6:35. Also, as we'll see in later videos, ideally, we wanna avoid hitting the snooze button. The next question is how many times your sleep was interrupted over the course of the night. For me, last night, I woke up to my dog itching 1 time. So I'm gonna write down 1, and I'm gonna write down the reason why. Dog itching. This happens all the time. I know for me, a lot of times my kids call out to me during the night. So we want to, over time, track the reasons our sleep is getting interrupted so we can pay attention to our environments and determine what we can control. I've captured my information for the day. Part of why we write this down is because we know everyone's different. When we capture these trends for ourselves, we understand how they're specifically impacting us. Now let's move on to the evening diary. This is the part that you will normally do right before you go to bed, and it's an assessment of how you felt during the day. First, we'll want to track your energy levels. Go ahead now and think about your energy levels. How are you feeling right now? How have you felt throughout the day? Completely out of it? A little bit tired? Or wide awake? T Today, I was a little bit tired. I kind of felt like I was dragging, and I know why. I stayed up too late last night. So I'm going to be writing down slightly tired. Next is, did you nap? That's a yes or no question. If you did nap, you want to track for how long. I rarely have time to nap, and I do notice when I do, it kind of interrupts my sleep. So I'm going to write no nap. The next two questions are about caffeine and alcohol consumption. I had 2 cups of coffee in the morning and none in the afternoon.
Did you have any coffee or soda yesterday? If so, when and how much?
We know that coffee tends to interrupt our sleep, but did you know that alcohol does too? We tend to think of alcohol as making us slightly sleepy, but it tends to interrupt our sleep, which is why we generally want to avoid consuming alcohol after 6 p.m. I did have 1 glass of wine while my friend was over, and it was after 6 p.m. I'm gonna write down 1 glass of wine. Finally, we're gonna capture our exercise. I went for a 30-minute run. So I'm gonna write that down.
If you track your steps, you might wanna look that up and write down how many steps you got. Or if you don't track your steps, you might write down what type of exercise and the duration.
I've captured my information for the day. Part of why we write this down is because we know everyone's different. When we capture these trends for ourselves, we understand how they're specifically impacting us.
Well, now we've filled out the sleep diary. We're going to track our sleep this way for 10 days. That way we can see what our patterns are and where we need to improve. While you're doing that, go ahead and check out our next video for an overview of tips on how to improve your sleep.
See you there.
Hi, I'm Kate from Psych for Life. One of the most important things we can do to improve our sleep is to go to bed and wake up on a consistent schedule every day, even on the weekends. Some of us sleep in on the weekends in the hope of making up for sleep we lost during the week. That only makes it harder for us to wake up when Monday morning rolls around. And the same is true for kids. A study found that kids with inconsistent sleep schedules were more likely to have behavioral and attentional problems throughout the day. Staying within a half hour to 45 minutes of your bedtime range, as well as waking up within that same window, helps our bodies maintain a consistent sleep-wake pattern. When we throw off that routine, our bodies and mind fall into a new pattern that it wants to stay in. That leaves us waking up feeling tired, feeling less rested throughout the day, and even having a hard time falling asleep at night. Keep in mind, there is no universal bedtime. Some people prefer to go to bed early and wake up early, where others tend to be night owls and sleep in a bit more. Pay attention to your natural tendencies, but make sure that you're getting enough sleep based on when you have to be up in the morning. So we know we need to stick to a schedule, but how do we do that? To begin learning how to set up and stick to this routine, join us in the next video.
I'm Kate from Psych for Life.
Before bedtime even rolls around, there are a few things we can do during the day that will help make sure we get a good night's rest. First, getting enough sunlight exposure during the day helps regulate our natural sleep-wake cycles. You should try to get at least 30 minutes of natural sunlight every day, particularly in the morning. When natural sunlight isn't available, it's good to use a bright light to signal to your body that it's daytime. Getting enough exercise also works wonders. If you're having trouble sleeping at night, increase the amount of exercise you do during the day. Consider high-intensity workouts such as lifting weights, especially if that insomnia is related to stress or depression. Exercise whenever it fits into your schedule. But if possible, you'll want to exercise at least 90 minutes before it's time to go to sleep, which should provide enough time for your body to return to a state of rest.
Keep in mind, if you're not getting 30 minutes of exercise every day, that's okay. You can always work your way up to it. You might want to just start with 5 minutes a day. And once you're used to that, you can step it up to 10. Avoid long naps and late naps.
Naps can be very rejuvenating if they're kept relatively short and in the early to mid-afternoon when there's a natural decline in energy levels. Shorter naps, between 10 and 30 minutes, have also been shown to be the most effective at boosting energy without disrupting nighttime sleep. You'll want to avoid naps after 2 p.m. as they can disrupt your nighttime sleep by reducing sleep pressure or that tired feeling. If you're regularly taking naps longer than 30 minutes, it may be a sign that you're not getting enough sleep at night. If that's the case, you may want to consider how to rearrange your schedule so you're getting more sleep during nighttime hours and can stay awake all day long. Another thing you do during the day that affects your sleep is eating and drinking.
The thing we consume that has perhaps the biggest impact on us is caffeine. That includes soda, tea, and my favorite is coffee. And caffeine can be hidden in other places as well. Some medications, like Midol, have caffeine. So if possible, you want to take those in the morning. And of course, talk to your doctor or pharmacist if you have specific questions. Caffeine not only makes it harder to fall asleep, but it can also considerably reduce the quality of the sleep we get throughout the night. Take a minute and think back. How much caffeine have you had today? Now take a minute to think about when you had the caffeine. Was it in the morning, in the afternoon, or throughout the day? The science suggests that the best possible route is to avoid caffeine altogether, but the effects tend to increase the closer we get to bedtime. So if you find that you're not willing to give up your morning cup of coffee, you'll want to avoid consuming caffeine within 6 hours of your bedtime. For years, I've had 3 cups of coffee a day, one in the morning, one mid-morning, and then my beloved 3 p.m. coffee. It's that 3 p.m. coffee that I needed to eliminate because I could see that I wasn't getting enough sleep and I wasn't satisfied with how I was waking up feeling. So my first cup of coffee is full caffeine. Second cup, I'm actually trying to make half caf. That way I'm cutting the amount of caffeine in half. That has reaped tremendous benefits for my sleep. I've really just been waking up feeling more refreshed and overall just feeling better. Has it worked 100% of the time? Absolutely not. That 3 p.m. slump is very real for me. And on occasion, I just feel like I need just a little bit of something to get me through the day. In those cases, I try to make it a green tea. Green tea has less caffeine than coffee. So again, the goal is to overall reduce my caffeine intake. Giving up caffeine is tough. And if you do decide to give up coffee altogether, it's best not to do it all at once because this can cause headaches and other withdrawal symptoms. So if you're used to having 3 cups a day, you might want to go to 2 cups and then 1 cup over a few different weeks. Alcohol is another drink that can disrupt our sleep. While some people think that alcohol helps them sleep, the research shows that what it does is actually closer to knocking us out. The resulting sleep is irregular and shallow, which is why we often wake up feeling groggy and unrested after we've had alcohol. While alcohol can actually help you fall asleep, it also causes you to have your worst sleep the second half of the night. Sleep researchers recommend not having any alcohol within 1 hour of bedtime. Drinking too many liquids can also cause fragmented sleep. However, meals or small snacks of about 150 calories, particularly high in protein, can actually help improve sleep. Foods that contain melatonin, such as milk, oatmeal, nuts, and tart cherries, especially in the juice form, can provide a natural source of the sleep-producing hormone. Other foods which have been shown to improve sleep for a variety of reasons include kiwis, fatty fish, turkey, and assorted nuts. Research on the effect of carbs is less definitive, but generally less processed carbs, like whole grains, appear to support our sleep, whereas more processed sugars impair our sleep. Overall, having a healthy, balanced diet full of fruits and vegetables will give us all the nutrients we need to promote good sleep.
So here are our key takeaways for what you can do during the day to get better sleep. 1, get sunlight. 2, get exercise, ideally 30 minutes or more. 3, avoid long naps and late naps. 4, avoid caffeine, especially after noon. 5, avoid alcohol right before bed. And 6, eat foods that are high in protein and melatonin and not too high in processed sugar. Before we move on, take a moment to ask yourself, if you only made one small change to one of these things, what would it be? Maybe I'm going to eat my lunch outside to get some sunlight, or I'm going to have one less cup of coffee or soda in the afternoon, or I'm going to avoid that weekend nap to get better sleep at night. What's the one thing that you will choose? Consider writing this down or saying it out loud. Now we have some ideas for what to do during the day to get better sleep. Join us in the next video where we'll talk about your bedtime routine. See you there. After years of not being a great sleeper, I take my bedtime routine very seriously. It starts out by turning on my fan to cool off my room, and that gives a little bit of white noise. I also invested in an alarm clock that has a light associated with it that cues the body when to wake and when to sleep. I set the alarm for 15 minutes so the light is bright and is slowly going to dim over 15 minutes. That gives me about 10 minutes to read my book, and usually by the time the light is out, I'm fast asleep. There are habits that can help you get better sleep. There are also many steps you can take to help you improve your sleep environment. Focusing on relaxation before bedtime can help you wind down so you fall asleep faster. You can set up a bedtime routine where you create a soothing environment and do one or two activities every night before bed, such as reading, meditating, or listening to music. Taking a warm bath before bed has also been shown to improve sleep quality because it lowers your body temperature, which makes it easier to fall asleep. An obvious tip is to keep your bedroom as dark as possible when you're sleeping. Studies have shown that even a small amount of light in your room can disrupt your sleep. So close the shades and maybe even consider investing in blackout curtains so not a single ray of light can disrupt your snooze time. Your bedroom's temperature may also be preventing you from falling asleep quickly and may be disrupting your sleep. Turn down the thermostat at night to keep your room at a cooler temperature, and it will help you fall asleep and stay asleep. You may also want to try a white noise generator or something that makes a simple sound throughout the night. Another tip is to keep all screens out of the bedroom. Electronic devices such as cell phones and televisions emit a blue light, which disrupts melatonin production, the chemical that makes us sleepy. This means moving the TV outside the bedroom and using an electronic alarm clock instead of our cell phones, which can be a big distraction when you're supposed to be sleeping. Of course, having a comfortable mattress and pillow can only help improve your sleep. You might want to try playing around with different blanket configurations to get the right weight and coziness to optimize your sleep.
So here are our key takeaways for getting ready for bed. 1, relax before bed with an activity such as reading, meditation, or a warm bath. 2, keep your bedroom as dark as possible. 3, turn down the thermostat at night or use a fan to cool down your room. 4, consider using a device that makes a simple sound like a fan or a white noise generator. 5, keep all screens outside the bedroom at night. And 6, find a mattress and a pillow that works best for you. Thanks for joining us. Watch the next video to learn about what you can do when you can't fall asleep.
See you there.
Welcome back. I'm Kate from Psych for Life. We've all been there.
you wind down for the night, get yourself to bed on time, and then find yourself laying there, wide awake, twisting and turning in the sheets. So what do you do if you just can't fall asleep, even though you're tired? The first tip is not to stay in bed. The worst thing that can happen is if you start to associate your cozy bed with the anxiety of not being able to sleep. So if you find yourself still awake after 20 minutes in bed, or your mind fills with anxiety and worries, get out of bed and try a few relaxing activities until your worries have quieted and you feel sleepy again. If worrying is what is keeping you awake, try to journal for a bit. Studies have shown that just writing down your thoughts and feelings can alleviate anxiety, making it easier to fall asleep. In one study, researchers found that writing a to-do list for what needs to be done the next day led to participants falling asleep faster. Reading can also be a great way to relax and make yourself more sleepy, although you might want to try reading a book you've either already read before or is quite calming, so you're not tempted to stay up late to see what happens next. You can also try to meditate for a few minutes. If you haven't used this practice before, you might want to try one of the many apps available that have guided meditations especially designed to help you fall asleep. An alternative to meditation is called box breathing, where we're breathing in for 4 counts, holding it at the top for 4 counts, and breathing out for 4 counts. I'm going to demonstrate it for you, and then we'll do it together. Now let's have you try. In, 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold, 1, 2, 3, 4. Out, 1, 2, 3, 4. Great. How did that feel? When you feel relaxed and calm, get back into bed and try to fall asleep again. Try not to stress yourself out if it doesn't happen right away. Keep in mind, no one is perfect. Everyone has a sleepless night every once in a while. However, if after practicing some of these tips, you find that you're still unable to sleep, it might be time to consult a doctor. So here are our key takeaways if you can't fall asleep. 1, don't stay in bed. 2, practice a few relaxing activities like reading, writing, or journaling. And 3, practice controlled breathing or meditation. In our next video, Rob is going to take us through what to do when we wake up in the middle of the night. See you there.
Hi, I'm Rob from Psych for Life. If you wake up in the middle of the night, you're not alone. Fortunately, research has found some good techniques to help you fall asleep and stay asleep. So here's what to do if you wake up in the middle of the night. First, find out if there's something that's waking you up. Bright lights and loud noises are common reasons. Once you know the source, you'll know whether you want to decrease the chance of it waking you up, or think of ways to easily deal with the source of the noise. So for example, if you live near a freeway or train tracks, for instance, you may want to dampen the noise by hanging a noise dampening curtain. On the other hand, if you have a newborn baby and you need to attend to their cries, then maybe bring them closer to you or find ways to reduce the time that you're awake. Research has shown that the longer you're awake, the harder it is to fall back asleep. If you have an older child who's having trouble sleeping, check out our video, Getting Your Kids to Bed, later in this module. If you find that you're waking up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom, try to reduce your liquid intake a couple hours before bed, especially avoid alcohol and caffeine as they increase the need to go to the restroom. Tip 2, avoid staring at the clock or turning on electronics. Experts recommend avoid staring at the clock because it may make you feel anxious about the time that's passing and your reduced amount of time to sleep. Screens should be avoided because they emit blue light, which suppresses melatonin, often mimicking the sunlight from during the day. And while sometimes phones have nighttime mode, which shifts to more of an orange light, We recommend avoiding screens altogether. For instance, if you're falling asleep to the television, you might be woken up in the middle of the night by a loud noise or by a flash of light. And the content on TV and your phone is designed to keep you interested and engaged, which is the opposite of what you want when you're trying to fall asleep. In fact, if you're watching this video at night, consider turning off the screen and just listening to the audio. Tip 3, try some relaxation exercises. Breathing exercises or meditation can be extremely helpful in helping you calm down and fall back to sleep. One relaxation technique is the body scan method. And what you do in the body scan method is you think about an individual body part and actively concentrate on relaxing that muscle. And by doing that, it helps your whole body to relax, helping you fall asleep. So let's practice it together, starting with our fingers. Take a deep breath and focus on your fingertips. Feel it from your thumb to your pinky and feel the stress release as you relax your fingers. Now you go down to your joints and they start feeling a little heavier and a little bit more relaxed. And now think about your palms and the weight that's in your palms and feel the tension start to release as you're breathing slowly. And shift that to your forearms. And your forearms that are so tense from carrying things are now nice and relaxed. And feel that go to your biceps and your triceps. And release the tension from them. And as you go to your neck, you feel that your neck carries a lot of the tension and stress from your day. So focus on relaxing that. Taking a deep breath and feeling your tense, tight neck become nice and loose. And feel that your scalp has a tingling sensation as it becomes nice and relaxed. And center this all the way down until you get to your core and your abdomen. Taking deep, slow breaths. And while you notice you doing this, you'll feel the stress start to reduce in your body and you'll start to calm down. And this will help you fall back to sleep. And remember, combine this with breathing exercises. So take slow, deep breaths in between each muscle group to help you calm down. And feel free to do this as many times as you need to. Another helpful tool for falling asleep is something simple, like counting sheep. Tip 4, after 20 minutes, if you're still having trouble falling asleep, try getting out of bed and try to do something else, either walking around slowly, doing some breathing meditation exercises, listening to some classical music, or maybe even reading. The key is to not associate your anxiety with where you sleep. And once you start to feel more relaxed, remember to go back to your bed in order to go to sleep. If you've tried these tips and you still find that you're having trouble sleeping consistently or that it's impacting your safety or quality of life, consider talking to your doctor to dive down deep into the root causes. Here are our key takeaways for what to do if you wake up in the middle of the night and can't fall asleep. 1, look for potential causes of sleep disruption. 2, don't stare at the clock or your phone or a screen. 3, try some simple relaxation techniques, such as counting sheep, relaxing your muscles, and breathing exercises. 4, if you've been awake for 20 minutes or more, get out of bed. And 5, if lack of sleep is causing serious disruptions to your health or life, talk to your doctor. Thanks for joining us. In the next video, we'll learn how to get up and moving in the morning. I know sometimes it's tough. See you there. Welcome back. I'm Rob from Psych for Life. And in this video section, we're going to talk about something that probably lots of us struggle with, getting up. So most of us don't have the luxury of choosing when to wake up. We've got responsibilities like getting kids to school on time or going to work. And even if you do have the luxury of waking up when you'd like to or choosing when you get to wake up, it's important to stay consistent and have the same schedule every day. If you've been following along and practicing some of the tips from our modules about getting a good night's sleep, that should also help you with waking up better in the morning.
However, there are some additional tips for a morning routine that should help you feel a little bit more energized and a little bit more ready to tackle your day. In this section, we'll discuss 1, keeping your alarm out of reach. 2, getting sunlight when you first wake up. 3, what foods to eat in the morning to avoid feeling sleepy. 4, when to drink coffee or tea. 5, getting morning exercise. And 6, avoiding hitting that snooze button. As you may have noticed, many of these are the opposite of what you want to do before going to bed. Let's take a look at them one at a time. Tip 1, keep your alarm out of arm's reach. If you have to get out of bed, you're less likely to go back to sleep when you have to turn off your alarm. And once you do get up to turn your alarm off, stay out of bed. Tip 2, get sunlight when you first wake up. Sunlight is essential to regulate your sleep-wake cycle, and getting sunlight early in the morning will help you wake up. Some options are to keep your curtains open at night so that the sunlight will wake you up, or open your curtains as soon as you wake up. If it's still dark when you wake up, try turning the lights on in your house. For only a couple dollars, you can buy daylight balance lights that have a blue tint that will replicate the sun. And that daylight balance light will help your body wake up in the morning as well. Tip 3, avoid foods that will make you sleepy. Remember those tips we told you about foods to have late at night that contain melatonin, such as milk, and almonds, and cherries? You'll want to avoid those in the morning. Also, just like late at night, you want to avoid the high sugar foods, such as sugary cereals, because they'll give you a crash and that'll actually make you more tired. Instead, opt for something that's high in fiber and protein, because that'll energize you through your day. 4, if you drink coffee, try drinking it early in the morning. If you don't already drink caffeine, stick to that, because it's been shown that caffeine can negatively impact sleep, even if you only have one cup in the morning. If you're drinking caffeine, try to make sure that you drink caffeine prior to noon, and instead of drinking your coffee all in one shot, instead spread it out throughout your morning. Try to drink it slow, savor that coffee. Remember, your body kind of adjusts for how much caffeine you have, and making drastic changes may give you headaches or make you irritable. So instead of making changes quickly, try to make changes slowly over time and make notes in your sleep journal about how much caffeine you're actually having. As I've been doing my sleep journal, I've noticed I drink a lot more caffeine than I thought I did. I actually drink about 8 to 10 cups a day, so what I'm trying to do is slowly reduce down to a more acceptable number, like 5 or 6, rather than just cutting down to 0. Tip 5, and this might be one that's tough for some people depending on your schedule, but try to add morning exercise to your routine. Exercising in the morning is a great way to start your day off with a mood boost from either dopamine or just general stress relief. And it's also a great way to make sure that you don't fall back to sleep. It's hard to sleep when you're running. If you're worried about adding an exercise routine to your morning schedule, try doing little things, such as maybe parking a little further away from work so you have to walk to your desk, or standing up a couple times in the morning when you might be sitting the whole time. Tip 6, and this is something I really struggle with, is avoid hitting the snooze. So from my personal experience, I know I need to get up at 6 or 6:30. So I start setting my snooze alarms at 5 o'clock, 5:15, 5:30, 5:45, and 6, when in fact I really should just choose to set my alarm to say 6:15 and stick to that. It may be tempting to set 5 or 6 alarms when you know that you need to wake up early, but it actually confuses your brain and confuses your body. When you hit snooze, your body starts to wake up and then you make it go back to sleep. What this does is it creates something called sleep inertia, where your body temperature and your mind starts racing, but then you actually wake up drowsier at each successive time that you're waking up. So instead of setting your alarm at 6 for a time when you need to get up at 6:45, just get up at 6:45. Here are our key takeaways for getting yourself up in the morning. 1, keep your alarm out of arm's reach. 2, get sunlight in the morning. 3, avoid foods that will make you sleepy in the morning. 4, if you drink caffeine, drink it slowly and try to drink it only in the morning. 5, get exercise in the morning. And 6, avoid hitting that snooze button. Thanks for joining us. If you are a parent, watch the next video for tips on how to get your kids to bed. If not, jump ahead for the summary of all the tips.
See you there. Welcome back. I'm Rob from Psych for Life. In this video, we're going to talk about how you can get your kids a good night's sleep. Sleep is essential for a child's development, and ensuring they get enough sleep is a priority for most parents. In this video, we'll be adapting many of the tips we've already talked about to help your child sleep better at night. Tip 1. Set up a sleep routine for your children. Children thrive with routines and makes them feel comfortable and safe. Having a consistent bedtime routine will help them wind down and get sleepy, making the bedtime process a lot easier for everyone. This routine should be about 20 minutes long and should include soothing activities like a warm bath, reading, or talking quietly before bed. You'll also want to give your child a heads up about their bedtime routine starting, so they aren't disappointed when their day is abruptly cut short. Tip 2, limit your child's screen time. Electronic screens emit blue light, which suppresses the hormone melatonin, which helps us sleep. This troubles adults, but children are even more susceptible to this blue light, and having screen time before bed makes it hard for them to sleep. Tip 3, exercise. Children need at least 1 hour of exercise a day, otherwise they'll have tons of energy at night and they'll be bouncing off the walls and they won't go to sleep. If you can, try to plan this earlier in the afternoon so they have time to wind down. Tip 4, control napping. If your child's 5 or older and still napping, try to control the length of the nap by keeping it shorter, such as 20 minutes, and earlier in the afternoon so it doesn't disrupt their nighttime slumber. Tip 5, avoid caffeine. Although many people consider caffeine to be an adult problem, children are especially susceptible to it. Caffeine can be found in soft drinks, in teas, and even in energy drinks and chocolate. So try to avoid those 6 hours prior to bedtime. If your child is thirsty, try to substitute with water or something like milk. Tip 6. If your child's hungry before bedtime, opt for something simple and nutritious. Foods like milk, oatmeal, and cherries contain melatonin, and that can help your child fall asleep. Tip 7. Keep the pets away from the bed. Pets are amazing companions, but they move around a lot at night, and that can interfere with good quality sleep. Instead, try to incorporate saying goodbye to your pet as part of your bedtime routine, and that way they can stay in their own bed. Tip 8, address any fears during the daytime. This is a good chance to talk to your child about what they're worried about and address any fears head on so it doesn't prevent them from going to sleep. Children are smart and they can use fears such as a monster in the closet or under the bed as a stalling tactic to keep them from going to sleep. Don't dismiss their fear. Instead, listen and address it head on. And if you need to, incorporate a getting rid of the monsters routine before bedtime. Tip 9, stay positive and relaxed. If you appear stressed or agitated during their bedtime routine, they'll feel it and they'll react the same way. Instead, keep your voice calm and reassuring during their bedtime. You'll enjoy it better and so will they. Sleep is crucial for child development. And these tips will help your child get enough sleep while also preventing sleep from being a daily stressor for both you and your child. So here are key takeaways. 1, set up a sleep routine with your child. 2, limit their screen time. 3, get an hour of exercise before bedtime. 4, avoid napping for long periods of time. 5, avoid caffeine. 6, choose nutritious snacks before bed. 7, keep the pets in their own bed. 8, address any fears during the daytime. Tip 9, stay positive and relaxed. I hope these tips help. And remember, if your child's able to fall asleep, so are you. The next tip video contains a summary of all of our tips. See you there.
So now we've just covered a lot of science-backed tips to get better sleep. But for some of us, we might feel like that incorporates changing everything we do and everything we eat and when we eat it. So how do we go about improving our sleep without feeling overwhelmed? In the next section, we're going to recap what we've already covered, and then we're going to move on to help you determine which strategies are going to work best for you. Tip one, establish a sleep schedule by waking up and going to bed at the same time every day, weekends included. Tip two, during the day, expose yourself to sunlight, get some exercise, and avoid taking naps after 2 p.m. to optimize your sleep. Tip three, caffeine should be avoided 6 hours before sleep and try to avoid alcohol 1 to 2 hours before bed. Tip four, set up a relaxing bedtime routine where you engage in activities that help you wind down from the day. Reading, meditation, and taking a bath are great things to try. You can also try eating foods that promote better sleep, such as milk, fatty fish, and tart cherries. Tip five, keep your bedroom dark and cool. Keep all screens outside of the bedroom or at least turn them off before bed, since light from screens can disrupt our natural sleep-wake cycle. Tip six, if you have a hard time falling asleep, try journaling before bed or do a deep breathing exercise to quiet any anxious thoughts. These exercises will also help you fall back asleep if you wake up in the middle of the night. Lastly, tip seven, in the morning, avoid pressing that snooze button. Get some sunlight exposure, and if you drink coffee or caffeine, have it early and take your time. Morning exercise is another great way to start your day off right, and it will have the added benefits of boosting your mood and making it more likely you'll stick to other healthy habits the rest of the day. Let's walk through how to slowly improve your bedtime routine so you're choosing things that work with your lifetime. We'll also talk about how to track progress so you know what's working and you can keep improving. We don't want getting better sleep to be a source of stress or anxiety, so we're going to take this one step at a time. We're going to start with one thing. You might want to look at your sleep diary to determine what that one thing is for you. Maybe you have a particular issue you want to start with. If not, consider starting with your sleep and wake time to make that as consistent as possible. You might want to start with when you wake up in the morning. For most of us, we have a particular time we need to be awake in order to start the day's activities, whether that's getting kids ready for school or getting ourselves ready for work or whatever the day may entail. Once you've established the time you need to wake up in the morning, you can work backward to determine the time you need to be going to bed in order to get enough sleep over the course of the night. Wherever you are choosing to begin, that's going to be our focus for the next 2 weeks so we can get some practice and build some momentum. So use your sleep diary to track your sleep. Make sure to be doing it 7 days a week, and even if you miss a day or two, just keep going. Once you've been able to stick to implementing one sleep tip fairly consistently, it might be time to add another tip into your sleep routine. A great way to boost your motivation and hold yourself accountable is to do this with a partner. This will allow you to talk about the changes you're making, make any changes that aren't working, and compare notes. You might even want to plan a fun activity like a morning walk together that works with your sleep routine so you can keep each other on track. Keep trying and don't give up, because sleep is probably the most important thing you could be doing to increase your health and overall well-being. Getting better sleep will pay off. You'll be happier, healthier, and better able to face the challenges of the day.
Hi, I'm Rob from Psych for Life. Welcome back. Even if you're doing everything right and you're trying to control every variable, there's things that are outside of your control that impact your sleep negatively. Could be international travel, or working late, having a night shift, maybe it's daylight savings time, or even your children waking you up. And all of this is negatively impacting the quality of your sleep. This can be really hard on you, but fortunately, there's research about how you can improve and manage these shifts. Our bodies have a natural 24-hour sleep-wake cycle called our circadian rhythm. This internal clock we have regulates our sleep, as well as other functions like our appetite and mood. This cycle depends on light exposure and needs to be synchronized with light-dark cycles to ensure healthy and quality sleep. For example, if you live in a location where you have daylight saving time, when March comes around, there's more morning darkness and evening light, which can delay our sleep-wake cycle. This makes us more tired in the morning and more alert in the evening. As a consequence, on average, people get 40 minutes less of sleep on the Monday after you change clocks. Experts recommend that in the days and weeks before our clocks change, we should prepare ourselves to be less disrupted by this change. We can do this by sticking to a sleep schedule and following general guidelines for getting better sleep, such as avoiding caffeine and alcohol before bed or getting exercise earlier in the day. In addition, 2 to 3 days before the schedule change, you can start to gradually shift your bedtime and wake time by 15 to 20 minutes earlier each day to allow for a smoother transition for your body. Or you can opt for a short 20-minute nap the day after the transition to make up for some missed sleep. Getting sunlight exposure can also help to regulate your cycle. Whether you're traveling for work or for family vacations, we all know that jet lag is a drag. So jet lag occurs when there's a mismatch between our internal clock and our external clock, and our body feels the difference. If you're experiencing jet lag, you may find that you have trouble falling asleep or staying asleep. You might be sleepy during the day or you can't think. You might just be a jerk and be kind of irritable. So to mitigate these symptoms, here are some tips to deal with jet lag. Prior to your trip, get good sleep. Try adjusting your internal clock slowly over a couple of days so that you're ready for your trip. Also, try to avoid staying up late packing. Plan in advance. And while flying, drink plenty of fluids, but also avoid alcohol and caffeine. And when you land, get some sun. Sunlight exposure actually helps you to adjust your internal clock, so maybe go out and do something in the sun, like a hike. Some people recommend taking melatonin supplements, and while this can be a good adjustment, we recommend talking to a healthcare provider before starting any sort of supplementation. The night shift is one of the most grueling things you can do to your body and your sleep schedule, and while it's tough, know that you're not alone. About 16% of the workforce in the United States has to do late night shifts or a full night shift. Here are some tips that you can use to help manage that. First, while it's tempting to use caffeine to get through those late nights having energy drinks or a lot of coffee, don't overdo it. Caffeine takes 8 hours to get out of your system, so try to avoid using caffeine 3 to 4 hours prior to your bedtime. Second, taking a nap. If you work a job that allows you to have breaks where you're away from people, try to take a 15-minute cat nap or power nap. This will help you recharge and give you enough energy to get through your shift while not destroying your sleep schedule. If you're working a night shift, after your shift concludes, try taking a 15-minute nap before you drive home. This will give you energy for the drive while also reducing the risk of accidents while you're driving. Third, try to incorporate exercise prior to going on a night shift, because that'll give you energy while also helping to keep you healthy. Fourth, plan ahead and pack healthy meals. Prior to your shift, remember to pack something high in protein and fiber, such as nuts or fruits, or a pre-made protein snack or meal. This will reduce the need to buy unhealthy foods at convenience stores or substitute it with energy drinks instead. You'll find that you feel a lot better and it will help with your energy. When your shift concludes, try having a snack or a small meal to help reduce the need to wake up in the middle of the night from hunger disruption. Even though your sleep schedule is different from many of the people around you, you still want to be consistent. So plan in advance to have your sleep at the same time every night if you can. If you're sleeping during the daytime, blackout curtains and eye masks may be helpful, as well as earplugs or white noise machines. Remember, if you are working in the evening, try to get some sunlight at some point during the day. For example, if you're working an evening shift, you may want to get some sunlight prior to your shift and then go to work. Here are the key takeaways for what to do if your schedule gets disrupted. 1. Prepare in advance. Slowly adjust your schedule up to the change, as well as get as much sleep as possible prior to the change. 2. Avoid relying on too much caffeine. 3. After the switch, consider short naps to help with fatigue. 4, eat healthy, protein and fiber-rich foods to help with hunger pains when trying to go to sleep. 5, if possible, try to get daylight when you first wake up. And 6, even though your schedule is different, try to remain consistent and sleep at the same time. Congratulations, you completed the module on sleep. To learn skills that build upon this skill, check out our other modules right here at Psych for Life.